And open your hearts to pray with me now. O Lord, you know how weak a vessel you have chosen to give your word to these, your people. Open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am pleased and proud and privileged once again to be asked to preach before you today on this third Sunday of the season of Advent, a most auspicious time, for Christmas is almost upon us. Advent is almost over. Christmastide will begin. So today I want to talk to you about a very important person, a person whose birth was foretold by the Archangel Gabriel, a person whose name was proclaimed from heaven, a person whose birth was miraculous in nature, a person who is descended from the kingly line of David, a person who went out into the wilderness to prepare for the salvation of his people Israel, a man who would one day suffer and die at the hands of a cruel and corrupt government. I am talking, of course, about John the Baptizer. Did I get you? Was anyone misled? Did you think I was talking about Jesus? I bet you thought I was talking about Jesus. It is remarkable, is it not, just how much of the messianic prophecies apply to John the Baptizer. They apply to Jesus more, of course, Jesus being the Messiah. But John came close. Very close to being the child of promise, to being the one who was sent for his people. I often wonder if John felt that right here. If maybe he knew how close he had come and how far off the mark he was. If John perhaps resented that at first, that he, who was also a son of David, he who was also proclaimed to be born miraculously, he who was also one day to die, if he resented his younger cousin Jesus for the import that his life would have. John's life was very odd. He was born, of course, to Zechariah and Elizabeth, Elizabeth being the cousin of Mary, and so he was a cousin of Jesus, probably knew him growing up, saw the strange ways that Jesus acted as a child, heard the strange stories from his parents and the extended relatives of the odd things that always seems to happen around Jesus. John was marked for priesthood. Being Zechariah's son, he, like his father, would one day go into the temple and serve. Sometimes serve when no one else was even there. He would be alone in the presence of his God. What do you suppose it was that compelled John to turn from that path? To, instead of going into the temple of the Lord, wander out into the wilderness? To cast off the ephod and instead don camel's hair. Not to eat the sacred bread that was placed in the temple sanctuary, but instead to feed upon locusts and wild honey as his diet. How profound a spiritual experience could turn any of us into that? Perhaps it was just that, knowing Jesus the way that John did, growing up with him, seeing him change and thrive, maybe knowing the strange destiny that was upon his cousin's shoulders, John, instead of walking into the temple, walked away from that life of religious trappings and instead said, "No, I don't want recognition and honor. I don't want ephod and linen. I do not want incense and the smells of the fat of calves and bulls. Instead, I want to do something else. I want to prepare for the one who is coming after me. So one of the priests, the Levites, Pharisees, people he probably grew up with and trained with before turning from that path, came out to him and said, "Cha, what are you doing? Why are you out here in the wilderness in that camel fur? You smell like honey and locusts. Why are you dumping people in water, John? Are you the Messiah?" The pain that must have gone through this man's heart to have people come out to him and ask him, "Are you the one who was promised? Are you the one who was sent? Are you the super special dude that we've all heard about?" Was John's first reply going to be, "Almost. I could have been. Maybe if I had tried harder or had been born under a different star. I almost made it." But he didn't say me. When they asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" he just said, "No." "Are you Elijah?" "No." "Are you the prophet, any prophet? Are you some kind of important person?" "No, I'm not." "Well, then who do you claim to be? Who are you, John?" And John could have said, "I am the son of kings and priests. I am a wild wilderness mystic sent out into the desert for God knows why. I am the cousin of the Lord of Life himself. I am not to be trifled with, for I hold the path in my hand that we all must walk." No, John did not say any of that when asked who he was and what he was doing. He said instead, "I am a voice. Just a voice. Crying out in the wilderness, in the emptiness of the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. I may not be the Messiah. I may have just missed the mark, but I know this guy. And I'm not even worthy to tie the sandals on his feet. I can't wait for you to meet him. It's going to be quite a shock for everybody." The passage that John quoted when asked who he was came from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah wrote that passage 500 years before John was born. 500 years distant from the events of his life, Isaiah wrote that passage. 500 years before us, the printing press hadn't even been invented yet. That's how distant these ancient and sacred words were from the speaker of them. And yet, they held resonance in John's life. When asked who he was, he looked toward a distant future that was not yet. But in order to understand it, in order to encapsulate it, in order to express it, he had to look backward into the distant past to the voice of another who cried out in the wilderness, to the voice of a prophet whom, as Paul teaches us, we must not despise. There's a lot in the world to despise right now. Not necessarily a prophecy, but many people are professing things that when we hear them, we become offended. We like to break ourselves into camps, if you will. And though I don't want to incite any sort of intellectual violence here, nor even the fisticuffs that usually accompany these words, I suppose we're all in our own little ways conservative or liberal. And again, without attempting to arouse any kind of hostility, we can very simply and very delicately describe those two camps as looking backward and looking forward. Now, some would tell you that we should be all the way to the right or all the way to the left, and some would tell you that no, we should sit right in the middle and not be either. But I say to you, it's not a question of neither nor, but both and. John proves to us by quoting Isaiah, and Jesus proves to us by quoting the other Isaiah passage that we read this morning. I have come to proclaim the day of the Lord's favor, which he preached in a synagogue to announce his ministry. These men, John and Jesus, were both, in the barest sense, conservative and liberal. They were looking toward a future. They were gazing forward, all drawing from the past while looking back. Both. And I learned in seminary that a pastor's role is not to stand on one side or the other with the winners or the losers, as so many of us often break down these conflicts into, but instead to stand in the center. Not as a centrist, but as a calm voice in the middle of a raging storm. I also learned that as pastors, we are to pass on what we have learned to others. And so I tell you this same thing that I am meant to do, we are all meant to do. Not to flip to one side or another, but instead to stand centrally in the midst of conflict, in the midst of fighting, in the midst of a storm, and say, not either or, not neither nor, but both and. We must, as Christians, look backward if we are to look forward. And we must, as Christians, look forward if we are to look backward. It's why we carry around a 2,000-year-old book and rely upon its words for meaning today. It's why we bring our children into this relatively ancient sanctuary, is so that the ways of the past may be passed on to the future. We stand in the center, you and I, all of us, of a great storm called Advent, looking back at a child in a manger, looking forward at a king on the throne of the world. Perhaps we could all stand to be a bit more like John, not looking at ourselves and going, this is who I am, respect me, but instead doing as John did and laying his self, his pride, his ego aside and pointing forward while looking backward. We could all stand to be a voice in the wilderness out there.